really, really good. Say it another time. Good. Awesome. You guys can become a real good choir. You got a good loud voice. Hallelujah. How do you like the seating arrangement? One of the kids actually asked me and said, did you do it? Because they know that I like to do crazy stuff. I would like to change things up and stuff like that. But no, this is not me. This is LGCC. They're having this set up for the whole month of May because they're focusing on prayer. And we've got the privilege of actually experiencing this way of seating. Do you like it? Yeah? Yes. Maybe we should try to convince him. Convince Pastor Luke that we're going to sit like this. But it's actually kind of weird because I have to do this. Someone told me that I need a little, what do you call it? Revolving turntable. Or Lazy Susan. That's right. Wow. Okay. What do I want to say, Lord? First thing I want to say is that it is such an honor and a privilege to actually be praying for you guys. Did you know that? I didn't realize it, but this week it has been one of the hardest week for me. I feel like every week is hard, but it's hardest. And you know, but yet I would come before Daddy God and pray for us, pray for you. And you wouldn't believe this. I even had Terry's face. I didn't expect you to come today, but I thought of you because I saw you last week. And I said, God, I'll pray for Terry as well. And I haven't seen you guys in the last 2 weeks, but but you know, every face, like right now that I'm seeing, not one person is actually left out. Nancy, Agnes, JC, all of you guys. I see you and Artie. What a blessing. Appreciate you. All of us here. And oh, where did Zoe go? Ah, I saw her face. I saw all of you, each one of you, even Chang. Chang? That's right. All of you. Auntie Annie, all of you, all your faces. You are so precious to God. You are so loved by God. And you know, even as we sang the song Face to Face before, and that's how I actually saw you guys, with God face to face. He absolutely adores you. He adores you so much. He loves you. And because of that, I felt that. I felt that as, it feels weird to say this, still not used to it, but as your senior pastor, I feel the weight of how much he loves you and carries you. And it is a joy, I can tell you, it is a joy to pray for you. It is a joy to think of you. It is a joy for me that God is actually showing me things about you guys and how to pray for you guys. It is a joy. Can we just give him a clap offering? Give God a clap offering. Such a good God. Such a good God. I really, really appreciate all of you. And one of the things, as you all know, that when I was commissioned on the 16th of March, I spoke about vision. You all remember that? Yes? Yeah? Do you all remember the title of my sermon? No. It's okay. We're forgetful people. Or you don't go look back at the sermon. It's okay, but I'll remind you. It's actually, we are a church that is rooted in prayer and unity. Well done, Sang. I wish I got chocolate for you. We are rooted in prayer and unity. And that is from Acts 2:42 to 47. Can we just put the slide, which is just the vision? Please, not that one. Ooh, you told them the title. just the vision, please. Thank you. You found it? It's the second slide. But anyway, it is rooted in prayer and unity, which was based on Acts 2:42 to 47, which is to be a praying church, to be a people of His presence, a church of disciples, and a church that loves the city, a church with a culture of honor and a church on mission. Isn't that great? It feels like there's so much here, but that's what God has actually called us to do. Just a time to really seek His face. So with this, today is a bit different because I've been talking about prayer a lot. But one of the questions that I've been seeking God is that, Lord, You show me this vision, but how do we walk in this vision? How do we live it out? Because it's a great idea, right? God said, oh, okay, you're going to become a church of prayer. Wow. So everybody come and pray. But then only 4 people turn up, right? So how is that? How do we live out this vision? Why are we called to pray? Why are we called to come together to pray? Not just you alone in your room or somewhere in the shower. But why do we come together to pray? What is about corporate prayer? What is it about that when we really seek His face together? Can I give you an example? So today at our pre-service prayer, who knows that we have a pre-service prayer? Yes? Do you know what time it is? Don't know. Thank you, Gordon, for your honesty. Anyone knows what time is our pre-service prayer? 2:00. Crystal, you need another chocolate. It's at 2 p.m., our pre-service prayer. It has always been only just a few of us. It used to be just Eugene, myself, Pastor Richard, and Pastor Joanne. But now, slowly, people are coming. And today, I think we've got the most in a long time, right, Eugene? It was really nice. But you know what the beauty was, guys? When we prayed, we are all hearing God together. Not just me, but we're all hearing that and how God connects all these things that God is wanting to do. But if I alone hear this, you know, it makes no sense. I'm just telling you what to do. But if we all come together and hear God, we position ourselves, we put a pause, as we heard last week from Pastor Matt, we put a pause and say, hey, we want to hear from God together. Yeah, and I tell you, there was beautiful things that that came out from that. And I just want to call Brother Sang, and where's Dougie? Oh, I'm looking at Sarah, but you're here. You know, what did God show you in that? Because there were a few of us, but I didn't want to call all of us out. But just the two of you, if you can, who want to speak first? Sash.
It's amazing. It was a great time to really share and listen to Him. And, you know, what God was sharing with me at that time was like just being uncomfortable. I've been comfortable with being uncomfortable. I know a few of you walked in and looked at the orientation of the room, and I know a few of you walked up and down to see where's that indent that I've had in there for the last 5 years. Still longing for that cheek to cheek, but I was... But He was saying, yeah, how do we be comfortable with uncomfortable? Because this is a season where He's not just going to... He's not disrupting, He's interrupting. He's causing us to really shift our hearts and minds. And I look at this orientation right now, and when we look at each other, it's able to look into this center, and this center is Him, that He loves us. You know, I was going to also share, Pastor Rena, this is, you know, when I share later in June, I'm thinking I would love this orientation because it's so hard for people to fall asleep because you're keeping short accounts. You can see the other side. You can see that way. And it's like JQ would tell me, oh, look, Jess, you're snoozing. No, just joking. But it is. The Spirit is in the house right now. There is a shift and a stirring. And we felt God's presence just saying, you know, just step out in that faith. You know, you rest on Him. He will make your yoke light. So don't be afraid. Don't have to fear. You know, John has said it. We can come together, and as we journey together, this is the time. And that word shift and change, it's in there. All right, I'll pass on to my brother Doug.
Thanks, Sang. So in the pre-service prayer group, I was just sharing how God's been really speaking in my heart lately to be having that spirit of boldness in terms of the harvest is now. So I know a lot of times we think as Christians, I'm going to plant the seed, I'm going to do this, and it plants a seed, and then we feel good about it. But I really feel that if we're there and that seed is there, but why don't we just share the gospel, right? Like, why not? Just come out and say it. And so God's been really challenging me lately. So I'll tell you a backstory and then what happened after that. So the other night, I slept next to my son, Mitch. We just had some sleeping arrangements. And throughout the night, he started screaming, like on the top of his lungs. Now, it woke me up. I was semi-conscious. I was semi-awake. And then I just asked God to send me into his dream. And then a split second later, I'm transported into his dream. And Mitch was being held by this Venus flytrap. So I grab Mitch, I pull him out, and then instantly I'm transported back into the conscious realm. And from then on, Mitch didn't scream. So I was like, thank you, Jesus. Anyway, a week later, a dad who's not a Christian was sharing me of a story how his daughter walked into his room. I laugh at this. Walked into his room and shined a flashlight into his face. And woke him up. And I cracked up with him. And I just shared my story of how God had transported me into my son's dream. And I think I shocked him because he looked at me and went, wow, that's pretty cool. But it was a spirit of boldness that I wouldn't have done that before. And I just always remember a friend of mine in high school. I always remember her name was Sarah, and she always told me, I remember asking her, how did you come to know the Lord? So she's a Christian, but she came to know the Lord in her 30s and asked her, yeah, how did you come to know the Lord? And she said a friend took her to a life group, and all they spoke about at the life group was angels and demons. They didn't even talk about Jesus. And she said, if they had just spoken about Jesus, I probably wouldn't have listened and come to know Jesus. But because they spoke about this, it woke me up and I went, wow. And then she came to know the Lord. So I think when God was speaking to me, share the love of Jesus, but even just sharing the word, however you share it, I think is now. Now's the time. So I give God that glory.
Amen. Now how am I to redeem another 5 minutes from the sharing? No, that was awesome. I didn't hear that story, but you had to marry a Sarah. Isn't that funny? No, that's good. That's good. Isn't that good? That God is shifting, God is moving things. And one of the things that I've been praying for and I'm asking God, as I said earlier, how do we live out our vision? How do we live it out what God has shown us? So I've been asking Daddy God, prayer and unity, what does it look like for our church, right? And especially on how we gather on a Sunday. What does it look like? How do we do things intentionally and not just coming here, as John said earlier, that, you know, we're not just participants, but we are here to engage. We're called to engage. So I specifically asked God, how do we do this? So I want to explore with you guys. As you all know that today is slightly different, did you all realize that something is missing today? Communion? Yeah, what else is missing? We're missing today? Oh, none of you remember? 5 minutes break. That's right, the 5 minutes break. I'm sure someone actually asked me, how come we haven't done communion yet? I just felt today that the Lord wanted me to do the communion at the end. Is that okay, guys? So that we come together, and there was something that He wants all of us to come together. Not saying that we weren't together before, but there's something in the message that I hope will speak to your heart. So is that okay that we explore to do things differently sometimes? Is that okay? Because this is a big difference already. It is the big change. We've got so many things that's happening and that's changing, but the word that God also was stirring in me, apart from that word shift and changing, He's saying, make room. And funny, last year, early last year, you know, I shared a message on how we make room. And here again, he's saying, make room. You see, my friends, God is ushering us in this new season of not doing more, but making room. Make room for God to move in new ways like we've never seen before. And maybe we have seen, but he wants to breathe afresh over this new season. This is what he wants to do. He wants us to flow with him. And one of the things that he asked to make room for is more prayer. Are we good with more praying in the service? Yeah? If you are okay, put thumbs up. Okay, if you're, you asked to make room for more testimonies, how did you all feel when you hear stories from Doug, and you've heard stories from Josh before, how God moved and changed him at the board retreat, and things like that? How do you feel when you hear testimonies? Encouraging, right? Not only that, it builds your faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. If we don't hear it, or not only hearing the Word of God, but we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. That's how we overcome. That's what we're called to do. But if we don't hear it, we only hear the teaching, we don't know how to put it into practice. We don't hear it. I believe God is doing so much in your lives, but you don't have the opportunity to share. One thing I tell the people that whenever I disciple them, I said, whatever you keep, you will lose. Whatever you share, you will actually keep. Because I don't know about you, if I read something, I literally forget 10 minutes later. I have a brain of a goldfish, which is only 8 seconds. 8 seconds attention span. Or three, four? Oh gosh, even shorter now. But we forget. And that's why it's important, whatever you read that morning, whatever you are gleaning from the Holy Spirit that morning, you need to call somebody and actually even ask God and say, who needs to hear this word right now? And I'm going to call that person. That is discipleship 101. Did you know that? If you don't know about discipleship 101, here I'm teaching you right now. Whatever you read, whether you do your devotion, whatever God is doing in you, whatever he's showing you that morning, say, God, who needs this word today? It could be in your team. It could be your family member. It could be your friend. God is doing that new thing. Yeah? He wants to share that. He wants you to share it. So we want more time for ministry. We want to make room for ministry. We want to make room for people to respond, more response, and we want a deeper connection. I'm not saying that the 5-minute connection is not important. It is. But for a season, I believe that sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but when we have that 5-minute connection, oh, hi, hello. We're very polite. You know, like, hey, what's up? How are you? Are you good? You good? Yeah. How's work? Great. Okay. Come. Oh, yeah. Oh, what happened this week? And then the times are, oh, sorry, you have to go back now. We have to go back to listen to the sermon. But we are going to be intentional when we do connection. We want to connect really, really well before the service and after the service. Is that all right, guys? Yeah, we want to go deeper. We're just going to try this for a season. Okay? It is not, it's just wanting that space for Holy Spirit to move. I know Sang was saying that he's interrupting. God is wanting to interrupt our daily routines, or the way we set our minds, the way we do things. But he also wants to flow without interruption. And how do we do that? We're putting a pause to this mid-service for a bit. Is that all right? Yeah. Can we say yes to that? Because I'm like, if you don't like it, come and speak to me later. Not today. Remember, if my sermon is not good, don't come and speak to me today. But it's just one small way we're trying to listen for God's leading. Yeah? And how we shape our services, our gatherings, to be all around him. It's not about new structure, but it's about new surrender. We are not flipping a switch, but we are opening a window. And as we move forward as well, as we move toward July, we would like to do more of this. We would like to experiment and to have more testimonies. very simple way of doing services, our service. You excited about that? Yeah. Just a fresh new way. I wrote so much and I don't even want to say it. I don't want to say anything anymore. Okay. So my title for today is Making Room for More. There it is. You know, like I said earlier on, this week has been a really crazy, tough week. I hardly slept. Even today was only 2.5 hours sleep this morning. And you know, I said, God, what's going on here? You know, we're leading a team. We're meeting up with our leaders and planning stuff, because a lot of the leaders are working behind the scenes to see how we can do this little tweak, minor changes in the way we serve each other, in the way our service would run. And I realized that because I had so much to do, I had a list of things, and I was also just ticking off what needs to be done, and almost to the point of like, oh dear, you know, how do I say this? Like, not say I didn't pause. I paused, but in my tiredness, because I was filling up my time with so many things. And then I realized one of my leaders also is doing the same thing. She was also ticking the list. Oh, I said she. The person ticking the list. And then I had to stop because there was a miscommunication. And then the Lord was showing me, he said, Rena, if you don't stop, if you don't pause, how are your leaders and your people are going to follow you? And I said, whoa, that is so true. So true. And that made me think. And we just heard from Pastor Matt last week about his sermon, about how we need to prioritize, to pause. And I said, wow, Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. I said, I have to change first before I can tell someone else to change. I think the same thing with parents or anybody. You know, we're trying to tell our children to do certain things, but then we're still doing the same thing. It's a bit scary. But when God told me that, he said, Rena, you got to stop. Stop making lists. I mean, it's good to make lists, but don't simply just tick them off just because you need to get it done. But come to me. Trust me. Seek my face first. And then you'll see how it flows. And because I stopped, because I realized that, I was able to speak life into the other person. And then she too found that rest. I gave it away. But you don't know who it is. You don't know who it is. So I just want to give thanks to God. Don't you just love it when he comes and corrects you? Can't speak English. Okay. Don't you just love it? Some people don't like it. Oh, God, I'm corrected. Maybe by another person you don't like it. By my mother especially. But anyway. Crystal. Because she's laughing out loud. But you know what? I'm very grateful for that. You know, God moves in seasons. Yeah? In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, there is a time for everything and a reason for everything under the heavens. We know that God doesn't stay still, and neither do his people. What do I mean by that? God is not static. He is dynamic. We see from Genesis to Revelations, God is always initiating, creating, redeeming, calling, sending, and healing. He's not passive or distant. He is always active and he's near to us. He is always at work, always moving his story forward, always inviting us to follow in step with him. Why? 2 Corinthians 3:28 says that he wants to lead us from glory to glory. He doesn't want us to stay the same. And that means, that implies movement, growth, and change. And that's what I'm seeing for our church. There is movement, there is growth, and there is change. He's inviting us to grow and not to stay the same. You know, as we read that in Ecclesiastes, that he moves in seasons, and sometimes it's the seasons of a season of plowing and sowing and being pruned. So I'm being very pruned right now. I don't know about you guys, but I feel so pruned by God and some people. But it's okay. It's really good. It's a good place, because I hope and pray that God will always humble me so that pride doesn't come in my way. And I pray that for all of us. I believe God wants us and inviting us to move in those seasons and not to stay in yesterday's rhythm. So when Jesus said, right, follow me, I really believe that is a language of moving with him. It's a movement. This is not about making sudden changes in a church or in our lives, but it's about listening together. I'm sensing that this season is, are we willing to try this together? Are we willing to try to listen this new rhythm together that God wants to establish us as a church? One of the things that we did together at our transition workshop with all the leaders in the church, one of the words that came out was, I think it was you, right, John, that God gave from Isaiah 43, 18, 19. Is that right? Yeah. I was reminded of that last night, and he said, "The word Isaiah 43, 18, 19 says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it?" So I believe, my friends, this is an invitation. God is saying, hey, family, can you see it? Can you see it? How we all set up differently? Can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you sense that God is doing something different? And we spoke about it earlier, that he's doing a shift in us. Can you feel it is beginning to rise? Can you see it? He's not asking us to forget the past because it was wrong. He's not. He's simply saying, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in the past. It could be words that people have said. It could be scenarios that had happened to you that was not very nice. It could be your workplace. It could be a person. He said, don't get stuck there. If there's unforgiveness, don't get stuck there. Let love abound. Let it shed abroad in your heart. More than anything. He's asking us to open our hearts to what he's doing now. And I believe when I've spoken to a few people in the church, and they have been sensing God's nudging about how the church should be different, or the church should be more like this or more like that, you know, more spirit led and whatever not. And I don't know about you guys, but I really believe when COVID happened, he didn't want church to go back to normal. I don't know about you, maybe it's just me. Because he wants us to not just come to church and come, but he wants us to come and go deeper and to stop doing things the old way, but come and experience the new with him. I believe if you have had that longing, I believe that the Holy Spirit is actually stirring that in your heart to actually make room for more of him. So the heart behind these changes and how this connects to the vision. I was reminded that the early church didn't have perfect services. They had shared devotion. They gathered around Jesus. They broke bread and prayed and shared stories and just welcomed Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do. please hear my heart, that we're not removing stuff. We are reimagining stuff. Is that okay? We want to reimagine things with God. We want to simplify the flow of the Holy Spirit to just move. We want to intentionally strengthen our community by really, really spending more time before and after service. We want to create room for more of Him. He is not shaping, He is not reshaping the way we gather, but He is reshaping how we belong. I'm going to say that again, because if you didn't hear it, you got to hear it again. He is not reshaping how we gather, but He is wanting to reshape how we belong together. There's a difference. This journey is for all of us. Proverbs 16:9 says that in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their step. Friends, this isn't just my journey or the leader's journey or the board's journey. It's ours together. You are not here by accident. You came to First Light for a reason. And can I just thank you for still being here, for still coming, and for believing what God is doing here at First Light? It's our journey together. We'll try some things. It may work, it may not work. Some things may be wonderful, some things may be we need to tweak a little bit, and some things we may do for a season, and for some things we want to keep. And the best part is that we're not doing this alone. We're going to do this together. Yeah? We're going to walk this out together. So I want to invite you. Where's Tracy? I think you need to call them. Thank you. So I want to invite you, family, not to just come along, but to help shape this new season. Is that all right? How do we do this? It's through prayers, through your openness, your feedback. Please tell us, because this is our journey to listen together. Because the more hearts are listening, the better it is. The more we can flow with what God is wanting to do. Is that fair? Is that good? Sorry, it's not a very hypey type message today. But I just want us to just pause, just to reflect on what God is, what's been said, what's been shared. You know, because we're all in different seasons. But as First Light, we're in a season together. Maybe you may be in different places, different stages of your life. It's okay. God's got you. God's got you. He knows where you're at. He knows if you're distant from Him. But if anyone who's distant from Him, can I say that He has never left you nor forsaken you. He has never ever done that. If you feel far away from Him, you could be a worshiper and sing on stage every Sunday. You could be teaching at TBC or at Seek. But we could be far away from God. Sometimes we could be working in church and we can also be far away from God. We think we are close to Him because we're doing church work. But I think God is saying, I'm not far from you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you in every season. He has not forgotten you. I'll just let the music play and let you have this moment, this time with Jesus. Let Him speak to you. Let Him speak to you. Let Him whisper His love, His promises to you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you have the children's laughter. Welcome the little children. As we close today, we want to come to the table. The place where striving, all striving ends. Welcome. This is a place where all striving ends, and we remember again that everything starts and ends with Jesus. Amen. This whole journey, the changes that we're going to explore together, the space we're making, the stories we're longing to hear, it's all going to be about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Him because He is the center. He is the reason. And at this table, at His table, we are reminded what truly, truly matters. What truly matters. On the night He was betrayed, Jesus sat with His disciples, not in a perfect room, but in a very human moment. There were doubts, there were questions, even betrayal in the air. And still He gave His body and His blood. He didn't just start something new, He became the new covenant. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? A way of life shaped not by rules or religion, but by relationship. A life where we walk with Him, listen to Him, and love one another just as He loved us. So in Luke 24, after the resurrection, the disciples walked with Jesus, but didn't recognize Him until He broke bread. The moment of communion opened their eyes. And their hearts burn within them. So my prayer, my invitation is that as you go and take the elements this afternoon, that your eyes will be open to see what God is doing and your hearts burn again with passion and to continue this race that He has called us. Come, let's go partake.